is Dan here, dialing in another twat. And today I'm going to talk about building packages for the Arch Linux distribution. In the past, I've talked about compiling software from the source, how to do that, how to make packages using check install. And now I'm going to actually talk about how to make an official package for the Arch distribution. Now, to my knowledge, Arch is not supported under check install yet. I could be wrong, but regardless of that, it's really easy to make an Arch package. As a matter of fact, the easiest way to do that, to start looking at how to build an actual Arch package, is to look at the Arch build system how-to on the Arch Wiki, which I'll post in the show notes up on the Twat website. But aside from that, it's a really simple file, which is called PKG build, which you edit yourself. Now, it's all capital letters, and it's stored in your build directory. And typically, your build directory would be a directory anywhere on your system. Usually, you name it the name of the package that you want to build, and essentially, you either you can put the sources in there, or you can link and have it pull down the sources from the website that the source or FTP server that the source is stored on. But when you run the actual utility to make the package and build the package, it's going to look for a file called PKG build, again, all in capital letters. Now, again, aside from reading the documentation on the Arch Wiki, another easy way to get going is to head on over to the Arch User Repository, which is the site that is maintained by the Arch User community, that are packages that are being tested that may never, and they get voted on for inclusion into the Arch main distribution, or they may never be included in the Arch main distribution. It's a community repository. And you can find that over there at aur.archlinux.org. Now, you know, go to any package you want, and it provides you some information about the package. It tells you about the sources it downloads, and typically it tells you about the dependencies. But what you want to be looking for on any one of these packages is a file there called PKG build, the package build file. And if you pull one of those down, you can use that as a template for your own Arch package. Sometimes, you know, depending on how it is, they could throw some funky things in there. So you want to consult the documentation again first, so you kind of get a feel for, you know, maybe your package might be built a little differently. But typically, each package build file starts off the same way. You have the first line, PKG name, and this is now we're inside the actual package build file. And that's the actual name of the package. So, for instance, if I wanted to build a package called Muse, and not to be confused with the multi-streaming editor, I'm talking about the Muse put out by the Dyn.org group that does Dynabolic, which will allow you to mix in various audio sources, both live and files, and stream it out to a streamer like Icecast, a streaming server like Icecast or Streamcast. So let's say, and this is one of the files I did build in the past, I wanted to get compile and make a package for Muse. And I put in the package name, PKG name equals Muse, and then I'm going to do the PKG version, which is obviously the package version. And in this case, it's 0.9.2. And then I'm going to do the third line, which is the package release, PKG rel, REL. And that is, again, that would be my own number. So if this is the first version of the package, that would be number 1. I put 1 in there, or 0 if you really want to, but I think generally they start out at number 1. And let's say, you know, after I release this package, and I said, oh, well, wait a minute, you know, I want to change something, and then I'd make some adjustments to it, rebuild the package, and that would be package release 2. So then that way I don't have to, when I try and install the package again, it won't tell me, well, this package is already on your system. Because it's release 2, it would allow me to upgrade that package a little easier. And then finally, you have the package description, PKG DSC, and you put all that information, a paragraph or so about what the package is and some more information. And that content, the value for PKG description, DESC, needs to be enclosed in double quotes. Then you provide the URL, which is the URL of the website for the package. So that's simply URL equals, and then there's a line there for the license. So, and that's license equals. And then, again, both URL and license have to be in double quotes. For instance, Muse is released under the GNU GPL. So I put GNU slash GPL in the double quotes, and that's the license. Now, what's important is the next line. It's the dependencies, and it's called depends equals. Now, here is where you're going to list all the dependencies that your package requires. Each dependency would obviously be an Arch package. The name of the Arch package doesn't necessarily need to be the version. You just need to name the Arch package. And in my case, for Muse, it depends on having lame, libog, libvorbis, ncurses, gtk, and libsnd file. Now, I didn't specify version numbers on here, but you can do that. Okay, each package name is going to be enclosed in a single quote, so it'll be an inside parentheses. So you depends, the whole depends line goes inside two parentheses, and in there you list off all your dependencies separated by single quotes and then a space. So for instance, I have open parenthesis, single quote lame, close single quote, then space, then single quote libog, single quote space, and so on and so forth to the last one, which is single quote libsound file, single quote, and then closing off with parentheses. Really simple. If you want to specify a version number right after the name of the package before you close it with a single quote, you would specify greater than or equal to and then a version number. And again, that's based upon the package version. So for instance, I'm looking at a package build file for GTANS, which is a GTK-based Tango's game. And for instance, it says it depends on GTK greater than or equal to 1.2.1. So that will look for to verify that you have GTK version 1.2.1 or greater on your system. Now, my package would just verify, well, yeah, you have lame or you have libog or libvorbis, and continue on from there. Now, I could have put version numbers, which would probably be a little wiser, but I didn't because this is my own package for personal use. Now, again, the dependencies are what's required for the package to run. Actually, after it's installed, libraries and dependencies that it needs to run. Now, there's another dependency called makedepends, which are requirements or dependencies that are required to build the package, but not necessarily run it. And that's makedepends equals. And then again, it's the same type of listing as depends, with the whole thing's enclosed in parentheses, and then a single quote enclosed dependency and a space between each one of them. Another important requirement in here is conflicts, if one exists. For instance, if I was going to install this package in the standard location, the binary would be called Muse, M-U-S-E. Now, there's another package out there called Muse, which is the multi-user streaming engine, which would obviously, you know, kind of conflict if it was installed in the same place, or not necessarily if it's just in the path, too. It doesn't have to be in the same place. So I might want to put in there conflicts with Muse, the name of that package, which there is an Arch package for. Now, I'm naming my package capital M lowercase u, capital S, capital E. So I could put in there conflicts and then just standard Muse. And if somebody had Muse installed, the multi-user streaming engine, and they tried to install this version of Muse, which is an application for mixing and encoding and network streaming, it would tell them, you know, you can't do this, it conflicts with this, do you want to remove the other package? There's also a configuration called replaces, and again, it's a parentheses and single quote list of what this file might actually replace, you know, if it was a previous version or whatever, and kind of like almost like an upgrade. But say I had a similar type application, and I said I'm going to replace that application with this. The replace one would remove the old one and install this one in its place. Finally, let's look at the last option in a similar vein is called backup. Now, backup is if this file or package were to be removed from the system, are there any files that should be backed up? And for instance, that file would be saved. It would say it was a file in Etsy directory. It would save that name of that file and then .pack save is what it would be replaced by or backed up to. And again, just like everything else, the dependencies, conflicts, and everything, you would put those in parentheses and single quotes. So now that you actually have all the nuts and bolts of this thing put together there, the requirements, the dependencies, the names, the version, and stuff like that, that's when you actually get into how do you build the package, how do you, the commands for actually building the software, compiling it, and more importantly, where to get the sources from. Now, there's an option in there in source where you could either specify a URL or a tarball or you know, whatever. So if you specify a URL to an HTTP or FTP file direct location, it'll actually go out to the the server out there and pull the package down. The way that they actually name this, you know, the source file, is typically the source equals the name of the package, package name, then the package version, and then if it's a tar file, .tar.gz or .tar.bz or whoever it is. So you need to know the name of the source file if you're going to use, you know, the variables that are already listed in the package file. So you need to make sure that if it's on a remote server, that the name of the package matches what you would list in the source file. Now, again, you can specify in the source file, you can specify directly to that file out there on the server, or the name of the file in the directory, or specify an absolute path to the source file that you want to open up, or you could just use the variables based upon PKG name, PKG version, and how it's compressed. Now, the package, the Arch package documentation recommends that you do use the PKG name - PKG version style of naming the source, so that, let's say, if you directly linked to the source, if the package were to change, then you don't have to worry about changing the source file location, or if they would change it up on the server, you should be able to get an archived version of it. In conjunction with pulling down the source, you could and off the server, you could also specify the MD5 sums if they're listed up on the server, or if it's a package that you're creating yourself, you can generate those MD5 sums if you're sure that the tarball or the source files you pulled down to are untampered with. You can put the MD5 checksums in there. And then these, the MD5 checksums, would be, again, like the dependencies, encased in parentheses and then single quotes for each checksum. That's not absolutely required. If you, in any of these things, if you just elect to not put a value in, like for the dependency issues, or if there is no value for like conflicts or replaces, you do have to specify that on the line, but that part of the configuration. But you just put in empty parentheses. You could do the same thing for the MD5 sums, but if you're going to release this on and upload it to the Arch user repository, you generally should have the MD5 sums so that they can verify the package is secure. And finally, there is an option in there for what's called install equals, and that's anything, any other scripts that you think are important or that you need to compile the software. If you've written a script that would do something, either post or pre-compilation, you would specify that script under install equals. That right there is kind of the heart of setting everything up for the package file under Arch right there. The next section, or the final section, is the actual build section. That's where you're going to add any extra configuration options. Essentially, what it boils down to is you basically are going to do the three-step make, or configure, make, and then kind of make install. Now, the way that this works is you start off with the build, a line says build, and then two parentheses, and then a space and a bracket, the open bracket. Now, in after the open bracket, you're going to tell the package how to configure and compile the source file that you downloaded. So it starts off, once you get to this point, what the package will do is, all the way up before the build, it verifies your dependencies, it tells you the name of the package, and it goes out and it gets the source if the source isn't already located locally. So what would happen is it pulls the source in, so the first line, and unpacks the source in the build directory. So you're going to want to tell it to change into. You're gonna want to. You're gonna have a change into the location of the sources. So typically speaking, what it'll do is the typical bill. The first line is CD, and then $SRC/$package name-$package version. So what it does is when it unpacks the source file, it unpacks it in your current directory under a subdirectory called SRC, and it just extracts the tarball. So you need to be careful. You might want to extract it the first time yourself, because each package or each source tarball can be a little different. Some might not extract the sources based upon the name of the file and the version. So, for instance, if I was extracting Muse version 0.9.2, based upon the way the package is set up, when I have $SRC/$package name-$package version, I need to make sure that when the tarball is extracted, it's going to extract into a directory called Muse-0.9.2. If it's not, I got to alter that change directory line under the build so that it will untar it into the SRC directory and enter into the sources properly. That might require you to run tar with the T option to extract the tarball, but just show it instead of actually extracting the files. After that CD command is going to put you right into the top level of your source tarball right there. And that's where, you know, the next step would be the ./configure, the first step of which you usually do to configure the software, the source code right there. Now, at this point, you'd also pass your variables. For instance, you could use the --prefix equals USR, and that's going to install it into the USR directory. Remember, I talked about in the past, typically most software installs itself into the USR local, which is your location for software installed by the operator of that machine and not necessarily part of the standard package system of your distribution. So you want to, again, like any other software you're going to compile, you're going to want to read the documentation, maybe compile it outside the package system, make sure it's going to compile, make sure you can verify all the options that you actually want to pass to it. And the next step then, after you have your configuration line proper, is to run make. Depends on the software you're running, but by and large, most cases, you're going to run make at this point. Now, that's the second line in the build statement is, again, make. Prior to make, you might have to run other things. For instance, say you needed to patch some of the sources, so you actually have to tell it to patch, you know, run the patch command. You know, you can put anything in this. It's whatever's required for you to build the source file, to build the package. But typically, for like my Muse example, I'm going to run make, and then I'm going to have two pipes, and then return space one, so that after it runs the make, it returns back to the script. So the pipe will say, if fails, it would stop executing the script and wouldn't continue on to the make install. So that's why you have the two pipes there. So it runs make, and if it fails, it executes it halts the execution of the script. But if you're successful, that's when the next line comes in, typically, is your make install. Now, there's a little bit of difference other than just applying make install. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to say make, and then after make, you're going to have an all capital letters dest, D-E-S-T-D-I-R, equals, and then $PKG, and then space install. So what that actually does is after the software is compiled, it runs make, the package management runs make, and it actually dumps what's made the install files into your top-level build directory, into a subdirectory called package. So it dumps it in there. It's almost like saying make install space prefix equals or --prefix equals, and then some specific directory, because what that does is instead of installing it onto your system where you specified, like under the USR directory, so it'd be binaries in USR bin, libraries in USR lib. It actually takes those files, installs them into that PKG directory under your build directory, in the proper, you know, recreates the proper tree. So you, if you actually looked in there, you would see a subdirectory called USR, and under that subdirectory, you'd have the bin directory where the binary of the pack of the software would be installed. You'd see lib directory where the libraries would be installed, and so on. So it actually kind of takes that software, installs it into that package directory, and then the build script is most likely completed at that point. You would close it with the curly brackets. You can put a whole lot of other stuff in here, patching, again, I said, other scripts that you might want to run, but at that point, you know, you usually typically end with the make install. And once that's all finished, and you double check it, you close it all, you save that file, and you just simply run make PKG, make package. So it reads that package build file, goes out, gets the software, checks for the dependencies, checks for any conflicts, unpacks or untars the source files, and it executes the build script. It'll go in and into the source files, it'll run the configure, and it'll run make, and then the make install. So what you end up with is, when it's all said and done, is you should have your own Arch package, which you can install using the Pacman service. You simply Pacman space dash capital A in the name of your package. Now you'll also have your compiled sources laying around, and you'll also have that temporary destination directory, that PKG directory, where we'll have the executable files and what actually got installed on your system. So that stuff is going to linger around. It doesn't clean that up. You'd have to do that yourself. If the process should fail, again, you're going to have to debug it like you would debug any other software that you compile. That's why, typically speaking, if I'm going to take software that's not part of the Arch package management system and compile it on my system, I'll just run through the steps of compiling it, you know, configuring it, but not actually installing it to make sure that it actually compiles. Then I'll go through the process of setting up the package build file so that I can verify, you know, I know that it's going to compile. And then I can install it pretty easily. And if it doesn't work, or it's, you know, it's not something I want to keep around, because it's now installed through the package Pacman or Arch package management system, I can take it off just as easily as I installed it. But I know there's a lot of rambling on here, and it might not be easy to pick up from listening to what I'm saying. But if you take a look at the documentation, in fact, you might not even need to read the documentation, because you look at any package build file, you look at a couple of them, it's really, really simple to build the Arch packages and get them installed on your system. So once you start, you know, putting this down, what's going to probably trip you up right off the bat is just trying to write a description for the stuff. Not that it's hard to write the description, but, you know, just pulling out a paragraph or so is being a little more descriptive. If you're installing the software for yourself, you know, maybe you could just be a little lax on the package description. But if you're going to submit it to the Arch user repository, you know, be pretty descriptive on what the package actually is. Make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's on that. But that's it. That's my twat for today. Maybe next time I'll talk about a Debian package or building Slackware packages, because it's, you know, it's pretty easy. And I always recommend, if you're installing software through sources and you don't want to keep the sources around, if you could build a package for your system, it makes it all that much easier to maintain it in the long run. So you guys keep having a great day, and talk to you later.